Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, 10:34 on a Monday morning. Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promises, see more progress. Today we learn about the Reading is Fun program in Schenectady, New York. The organization's goal is to help teach reading readiness and conversational skills and vocabulary to as many of the Schenectady's 4 to 9-year-olds as possible. And here to tell us more about that, Dr. Alvin Majid, founder and executive director of the Reading is Fun program, and Mary Lou Russo, the program's chief of operations. Welcome both.
Glad to be here. Delighted.
Nice to have you both here. And you were on at least a few years ago, Dr. Majid, and you had just begun the Reading is Fun program. So why don't you, for those who weren't listening 3 or 4 years ago, recap what the program is, and then we'll take it from there.
All right. We are a volunteer organization dedicated to a single complex but urgent mission, as you've laid it out, to work with children 4 to 9, exclusively in Schenectady schools, in pre-K, kindergarten, grades 1 to 3, on building foundational reading and conversational skills and vocabulary. The context is important, and it focuses exclusively on the city and the city school district because it is a hard-pressed city in terms of those skills. Sadly, for a number of years now, on standardized state testing in math and English language arts, the majority at every grade level, K to 12, but we only deal with pre-K to 3, underperform or underachieve by those norms. So we're there to help fine teaching staff, and there are many, many fine teachers, and there are kids who do well and do excel, but there's a large group who do not. We want to work, and we do work very closely, our volunteers, with those children. We've grown rapidly. In the last school year, we don't have complete data for this school year, we had over 100 volunteers working with over 150 children. And we're committed to working with as many as we can. Because we work one-on-one with children, it means that we always have an urgent, a pressing need for more and more and more and more volunteers. There can never be too many, never enough volunteers, so we can work with children. We have some who work with other children, and incidentally, one-on-one for an hour once a week. That's what we're about. That's our mission.
Have you seen results?
Yeah. We do have questionnaires for our own internally, where in many cases improvement, in other cases, no, it's slow going. This is a tough, look, this is, if you know the city, and I think many of your listeners do, it's the hard-pressed areas of the city, culturally, intellectually, economically, psychologically, culturally, you name it, okay? And indeed, our mission focuses on that population and children, underachieving children from that population, not the kids who are doing well. We don't take the kids who are doing well. Some accelerate quickly, some accelerate slowly, and some hold back, okay? But we're not daunted by that. I love challenges, and the program is key to my loving of challenges.
We are joined today by Dr. Alvin Majid and Mary Lou Russo, and they are with the Reading is Fun program, and the slogan is, where every child is everyone's child. Right. Why and how did you come to realize this is something you wanted to do?
Okay, very simply, I was doing PhD, I'm a retired prof at UAlbany and elsewhere. About 50 years ago, I was doing doctoral dissertation work in Nigeria, doing tribal politics among the Adoma people. I encountered, I'll give you just a very brief synopsis, a key value in that society where there was a notion deeply rooted in its history, passed on through its elders, that every child was everyone's child within the village. You may have biological parents, but other villages treated them as if they were their children. We adopt the same attitude, okay? We embrace these children as if they are our children, the children we work with in the program. Now, we're not surrogate parents.
Right.
We don't want to be. We don't pretend to be. But we want to nurture them emotionally and intellectually through reading early on as if they were our own children.
In a way, that is antithetical to the American way, that every child is everyone's child. Mm-hmm. And interesting to see that concept spring to head to your head. Is there any?
Let me say this: it's appropriate in the era of Trump. Okay, I'm an internationalist and a pluralist. I'm not a nationalist.
Okay. You said you weren't going to bring up any politics today, but you did anyway, Dr. Alvin Magic.
I had to, so excuse me.
That's quite all right, sir. Are there any other programs similar that have followed your lead elsewhere around the country?
I haven't checked them all, and my representation too is anecdotal, but I think not. There are many programs with varying degrees of success, among them ourselves, okay? But we're moving in a way. I've got incredible companions, beginning with Mary Lou. She's been with me from the start, and others. And so we're morphing, we're evolving. I know of no program in the country that's doing, and Mary Lou will be talking about this shortly, the first annual Grand Reading Jamboree. And incidentally, we anticipate and are committed to the notion that the program, its Jamboree, in all its aspects, will go on forever, if not longer. I can't say that about too many programs in the country.
Mary Lou Russo, you're the program's chief of operations. Before we get into the Reading Jamboree, which hopefully is the first of many, tell us about some of the cooperation you've gotten in the community.
It's interesting. I think we've been pleasantly surprised at the turnout in terms of volunteers. We get people through our website and just people calling who hear about us saying, what can we do to help? How can we help? And that's how we get our volunteers. And I think when many have said, well, I don't have a teaching background. I've never done this before. I don't know if I can do this. We have a training for them to put them at ease, to give them some of the tools that will help them. And then we remind them that they're working with pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. These are little ones.
Yes.
If you know the alphabet and you know the letter sounds, you can work with these children.
Well, you need a modicum of patience.
Yeah. But when you're working with a child one-on-one, a rapport is established with that child. Very often they're not acting out because they don't have an audience. They're separate from the other children in the class. They're just working with their tutor.
Interesting.
And they develop a relationship with that tutor. We've had volunteers say to us, you know, I'm not so sure, but I'll give it a try. And then they're so pleasantly surprised at the reward that they receive, the experience is just so rewarding to them. I had one volunteer tell me that she worked with this one child just part of the second half of the school year. She came in later, and she said she was working in the summer program, a feeding program, SICM, that SICM puts on mm-hmm. through the summer, and that child happened to be at the program, and she spotted the teacher, the tutor, and she ran up to her and threw her arms around her and said, Miss Chris, I didn't know you were going to be here. She said that was it. She said that, you know, it's such a rewarding experience.
How about institutional and governmental cooperation? Are the school districts, are the teachers happy?
Yes.
For this?
Yes, I think they are, because we're helping them. We're not taking over. We're not trying to take their place. We ask them to identify a child that would benefit from one-on-one help. Yeah. And they welcome it. And so far, from what we hear from our volunteers, is that it's a great experience.
Well, this is pretty exciting. And the first annual Grand Reading Jamboree is at the Proctor's Theater Complex on Saturday, April 21st. It's an all-afternoon affair, 12 to 4 p.m. Tell us about the ideas and the goals behind this.
Well, our intention is to celebrate literacy. It is about children, for children, by children. And so our intention is that families come to actually witness the importance and the joy of reading. And we've enlisted the help of the school district. Every school, every elementary school, all 11 of them in Schenectady are participating. The art teachers are working with their K through grade 3 students, and they are developing a mural with a special theme.
Big mural? How big?
Big. 10 feet.
Yeah,
I think.
ten feet by six feet.
Oh,
lovely!
Oh, yeah. These are and you see them. They're major projects. They're wonderful.
And each school has its own theme. One may be butterflies. Another one is hot air balloons. Another one is robots. Each school has its own theme. And the children are putting these murals together. They're going to be hung. So there will be 11 different stations located throughout Proctor's displaying the mural. At those stations, there will also be activities. We'll be giving out free books to every child who comes related to that specific theme.
There must be a tremendous amount of coordination just to get. You look tired already. Tell us about how setting this up has been a chore.
We have an amazing group of women who have been planning this for about a year. Each one has taken a specific piece and run with it.
Yeah.
So one of our volunteers is working directly with the art teachers. Another one is
setting up the stations,
developing the station itself. There's building. She has her father building these things.
Oh, wow.
So we're working with Steinmetz.
An off-site adjunct of the high school.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be providing the food for the event. There'll be free food. There'll be free books. Nothing about this event will cost anyone anything.
How do you get the word out among the students?
Well, that's the challenge. Because the students are working on these murals, they're very aware of what's going to be going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the hope is that they will go home and say, hey, Ma, I made this, and I want you to come and see it. The CDTA has agreed to provide transportation free of charge for the families to get them to the event that day.
And yeah. From.
That's great.
So
and Proctor's obviously stepped up as well.
Proctor's has given us the entire first floor, including the G Theater, the entire basement, the entire concourse. Has offered the theater, but we said it's not a concourse. It's an Italian block party, so we don't want them sitting in 2,700 seats.
Yeah.
But Proctor's has been wonderful.
Well, that is so great. And this, I hope this is one of many. And if you like a lozenge, we can get you one on the way out. You have one. Oh, very good. Well, listen, this was fun. Thank you, Dr. Alvin Majid, for being here. And thank you, Mary Lou Russo, for being here. And once again, if you want to find out more, do you guys have a website?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Great Expectorations. It's old Charles Dickens thing.
Readingisfun.org.
Readingisfun.org. Links to that and more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Dr. Alvin Majid and Mary Lou Russo, thank you for being here. We'll get a medic. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. It's the Roundtable.